Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the readings for Sunday, March 13th. Here we are. This is the second Sunday of Lent. Are you doing something? Have you made a decision? Please do one thing for Lent. You don't have to do a lot, but one thing and do it well. Maybe stopping working on gossiping, maybe lying, maybe anger, maybe fear. Whatever your situation is, when that comes out, it can be very difficult sometimes for people who hear you. So we want to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it in me that needs to change? Start with that. Take only one thing. You got 6 weeks to make it into a habit, and God will bless you. I promise you that. So the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 5 to 12, and then 17 and 18. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Abraham brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped them. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "To your descendants I give you this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." Lord's telling his people where he wants them to live on this earth, showing them, directing them. And the responsorial psalm says, Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Yes, we can get good ideas from other people, and sometimes even a little wisdom, but the source of wisdom is in God. Always ask God when you have a difficult situation, "Lord, help me to know what to do. Please show me." And if he doesn't show you anything, then just do what you were planning on doing. But he may. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks, you my glance seeks. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord." It's hard to wait, isn't it, sometimes? You think, well, gee, I've asked him 5 times, yet I don't hear anything. Just be at peace. God knows what he's doing. Just be at peace. And perhaps, you know, it's possible that he doesn't want you to do what you've asked him for. But first give him time and see if he answers. God loves you, you know. Maybe something you pick up to read. It might be something that someone says to you. It might be something that you hear on the radio. Believe it or not, there are all kinds of ways that God can speak to us. But it stops you. It's a word that you know is more than just the normal word. Please, brothers and sisters, trust him. Wait on him. I waited for years. I waited for years to know him, to hear his voice. I don't hear it. It's just a thought that comes into my head, and I think, my goodness, I didn't think that thought. That's not me. I don't even know quite what it means. Or as I ponder it, then I understand, because I've asked the Lord. Doesn't mean that the Lord will do that. You might be once in your life, might be a couple of times. But please, trust the Lord. Wait on him. Seek him. He may do it through other people. He may do it through the newspaper. Believe it or not, he's done it for me. I get an answer to a problem I have. Wait on the Lord. He loves you. And he loves it when we turn to him for help. He loves it. And now we take a look at the reading of Paul to the Philippians. Join with others in being imitators of me. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. If you're not reading the Bible every day, even if you can't get to Mass, if you're not reading your Bible, please start with the New Testament, as I think I may have mentioned to you in a previous program. But take just a chapter of something every day and read it. You could start with St. Paul to the Philippians and read the whole thing. But please read something out of Scripture every day. When you go to Mass on Sunday, try to take a little time just to read the readings for the day, maybe the day before or 2 days before. Just read them so you know, and then you can really listen. You get more out of it that way than having it read just simply at Mass. Though that's God's way, and we want it. But I want to give you some help. If you can keep it all together, God wants to bless us all. And we take a look now at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28b to 36. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountains to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep. Don't we do that sometimes? But becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from there, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. Brothers and sisters, what it must have been like to be an apostle. What it must have been like. Every day cutting new grass, changing everything by the words that God had given them. And God himself walked this earth. God himself walked this earth. Would you just have said, "Oh yeah, well that's interesting. Someday I'll read it again." No, that's not the answer. Lord, help me to take your word and let it be the food for my mind, my life, my soul. Please. He wants us to know him. And he's given us everything in the Gospels. Please, don't push them away. Listen. Saint Andrew of Crete, who you don't hear of very much, he was a Greek monk, he was an archbishop, he was a theologian and a hymnographer. He was influential in the development of the Byzantine liturgy. And he says, "Let us eagerly move up the mountain. How long, after all, shall we delay in the foothills of our discourse, gazing in wonder at the beauty of the ascent before us, when it is possible to ascend ourselves with those who have been raised up by the word and have been judged worthy of higher things, when it is possible for us to be illuminated by the cloud ourselves and so have our own eyes blinded and yet to be initiated by an excess of light into what is above human power. It is now possible for us too to listen to what is said, even by that blessed voice that reaches us from the Father as it bears faithful witness to the divinity of the only begotten, and clearly presents to us their substantial identity. Guided by the Spirit, then, let us revel in mystical knowledge of what has come to pass in the transfiguration of the Lord. For I know myself that the purpose of the transfiguration has this in view, and that the mystery invites us to sing its praises in this way. For it wants us to understand the depth of what has been accomplished here, and in knowing what is said here, to absorb the grace of the story more effectively by imitating the one who is transfigured." Read that, brothers and sisters. Read that. Ponder it. Amen. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.